You mean spitting distance anyway. He don't know what he opened up when he said something to me about preaching on prayer, because when I pastored, I had a week-long preaching on prayer. I just preached myself. And because I felt like the church needed me, we had a good praying church, a lot of young people. And so I don't know that I'm going to tell you anything you don't know. I'm just going to tell it to you different. Amen? Praise God. And so I wrestle about all this because, you know, I'm going to start off really talking about faith, because faith is impossible to please God. And I'll be the first to raise my hand and say I haven't learned it all yet. You know, so much preaching and teaching on faith the last several years, I just got to the point where I don't want to preach it unless I feel quickened by the Spirit of God. Amen? It's not that I mind doing it. It's just that there's been over an abundance of it. I heard Brother Hagin say, and I'm assuming he was referring to himself. He said, when you're riding the wave out in the ocean and the wave heads towards shore, get over and get on the next wave going out. And so have enough sense to get off and go that direction. But faith is a very important ingredient in prayer, and we must do it. Amen? I must have faith. I'll just get started, because if I don't get started, I'll ramble around here and not know what I'm doing. Amen? I know that you're going to use your Bible tonight, because I got a lot of scriptures, but you're not going to probably, I'm probably not going to look them up, but then again, I may. I don't know. Father, we bless you tonight and thank you because of liberty of mind, liberty of thought, liberty of expression, calling the Holy Spirit is in us, calling all things to our remembrance in the name of Jesus. And may it be said in such a way that it brings glory and honor unto you. And may it enlighten your people in a more perfect way, that they'll spend more time accurately praying in the name of Jesus. And I know that I'm going to learn, because the word is a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, but it preaches to your people, comes back and talks to us. So we're looking for a flow of revelation in the name of Jesus Christ. And we will give you honor and glory for all the results. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I better get my speckaroos out here. Amen. I'm cold. I got to preach to get warmed up. Maybe I have to run a lap or two around the building. Since I didn't get a ride on my bicycle outside, I might as well just run a lap or two, right? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a quote from E.M. Bounds, and I really like this. He said, he has an exhaustive course on prayer. I mean, it's some of the best reading on prayer you'll find. He said, prayer is the prime eternal condition by which the Father has pledged to put the Son in possession of the earth. Well, that puts a responsibility back on us, doesn't it? Praise God. I mean, if he's going to take possession of the earth, and then the responsibility is on us. Praise God. Amen. And then I said this one to you. John Wesley made this. It said, it seems like God will do nothing in the earth unless someone asks him and keeps on asking. And that's one side of faith where we don't feel like we need to keep asking. I heard back years ago when I started preaching on faith, you don't need to ask a second time. Well, we're going to qualify that a little bit by some rules that operate in that particular type of praying, because we're going to talk about these kinds of prayer. Ephesians 6:18 said, praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so we're going to talk about that. Different kinds of praying. I may give them to you in case I don't get around to all of it, because I've got a stack of notes about that thick, and I went through it today and like to drove myself crazy looking at all the notes that I'd written down, because, you know, you put little bits and pieces here, and then I dice my notes up. I make a set of notes that are nice and clean, and I've got where I type them out, and then I'll write on them, and you can't read them. So that's kind of where I'm at. Amen. But if that's so, then what's limiting our asking? Is it our understanding, our knowledge about prayer, or what is it? I mean, what limits our asking? You know, you can ask you if you can believe in God for a pair of shoes, and you might say yes. And you can ask you if you can believe God for maybe a new car, and you can say yes. But if I ask you if you can believe God for a Boeing 707, you put a limit on it. You put a limit on what you do. And God has no limits. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Praise God. So let me get to this because I want to get to it. But if that what he's saying is true, then we can see an example of it in the relationship of Abraham, or in the picture of Abraham. He was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, "Shall I hide this from Abraham, the thing which I do?" Do you know that God comes to you on different occasions, different times, and says, "Will you pray about this? Will you stretch your faith out here? Will you lay hold on that?" He knew what Abraham was going to do. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He'll know what you do. He know what, that's why he don't ever come to you, because he doesn't have any reason to come there. He does, you know, you're not going to believe him. You're not going to stretch out. You know, he doesn't put the promised land in your hand. He puts it within your reach. It makes you reach for it. It makes you stretch your muscles. It makes you stretch your faith. It makes you step out there and go all the way. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's go to Mark 11. I know most people think Kenneth Hagin wrote this, but he didn't. But he sure preached it a lot, and he preached it well. And praise God. I want to talk just a little bit about this, and we're going to go there and read that scripture in just a minute. But let me give you some types of praying. There is the prayer of faith, which we're going to talk about. That's a kind of praying. And then there's a prayer of agreement, and the prayer or united prayer, prayer of worship and ministering to the Lord, the prayer of casting your cares, the prayer of consecration, which is, by the way, I want to say this, it's the only one you say if it be thy will. In other words, you can't come to God and say, "If it be your will, heal me," because His word says it is. And we'll get to that in a moment. Amen. Once we get in the flow, seems like I'm climbing a hill, but I'm going to get there. Praise God. And then the praying in the Spirit. I love this one. I love the last two, praying of in the Spirit and praying intercession. And because I think those two go hand in hand. So I really want to talk to you about the prayer of faith. I got to watch myself. I got several notes. I had thought about preaching on hindrances to prayer, but you don't catch a fish and cook him while he's on the hook. You get him on the hook, and then you bring him in and cut him up and cook him. And so I didn't want to cook you too good. I didn't want to burn you too bad. Amen. Because it's nothing personal. It's just that there's certain things that we allow into our life that keeps God from doing what He wants to do. It keeps us from reaching out to Him. So we'll get to those at some point in time, maybe. So we want to deal with levels of faith. And now these four of these. Casting of your care. Let me get them here before me. If I get them, it's been a long time since. The prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, united prayer, and the prayer of casting your cares all operate by the same rules. In other words, we talked about this a little bit the last time we preached on prayer, and that is that there are certain rules that govern these types of praying. Now, I'll just take, for example, we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. Let me say this to you. You cannot take your faith and override another person's will. You cannot take your faith and pray something on somebody else that they don't want it. You do. You're entering into a dangerous area. And you're entering into some kind of I would call it Bible witchcraft, but you're trying to control them through prayer. You can't do it. I remember we had a man in the church, and he'd learned some things about living by faith, and his wife wouldn't do what he wanted her to do. And so he said, "I'm going to believe God, and she's going to do it." I said, "Well, you do. You'd be the first one that ever done it." I said, "And furthermore, she ain't gonna be your wife. You can start putting this stuff around." And sure enough, she left him because he was trying to force her to do something, and trying to take his faith and do something religious. It won't work. You can't do it. But on the other hand, the prayer of faith will work for you anytime. It'll work for you every time. The prayer of faith will work for you every time. It'll work for your small children. I know Joshua had, our son had measles for 45 minutes, a three-day measles. Had him for 45 minutes until we found out what he had. And then we rebuked him and they left. Praise God. Amen. And Jennifer had had her tonsils taken out and had an ear culture. And she had earaches all the time, just earaches one after another. And I had to lay on the floor, on the bed, because she had a little bed, I couldn't get on it. So I'd lay on the floor and rebuke the devil all night long. I said, you're not doing this. You can't do this. This is over. You can forget it. It's not going to happen. And I'd go to sleep, and she'd wake up crying, and I'd go back to sleep. I'd get back in faith, and so I could use that anytime. And she had, it wouldn't let you in school, we had ringworms. And so we looked down on her leg, and she had ringworms. And I said, well, we got to go to school tomorrow, so let's just rebuke it. My wife and I got in agreement, which is the same thing in some ways, and rebuked it, and it was gone. Got up the next morning, it was gone. Praise God. Ringworms don't go that fast. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we want to talk about the prayer of faith because it's very important. Mark 11, I want to show you something here. Mark 11, verse 12, because we don't pick it up quite fast enough. And because Jesus is teaching on faith, teaching how faith operates, I want you to see this. Verse 12, it said, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off and having leaves, if happily he might find anything therein. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, forever. Now we didn't see no results, and yet Jesus cursed a tree. In other words, how many of you believe if Jesus curses something, it's cursed? And if he pronounces death on it, it's dead. It's gone. You can send the saddle to the barn. And so it says right here, he cursed it, but nothing changed. And then you drop down to verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried out from the roots. In other words, it's such a drastic change. When they got in of operation of faith, that it absolutely cursed it to the roots. They didn't see anything. They didn't see outward results. A lot of times, and this is one of the rules of this praying, a lot of times when we're praying along this line and we're praying the prayer of faith, and listen, by the way, I need to say this, faith will be involved in all of it, in all types of praying. It will be involved in all types of praying, but some things are specifically identified as being a major part of it, and so the prayer of faith is just that. And so, we sometimes give it up because we don't see the results that we want to receive. We don't, my wife was telling somebody on a phone conversation today, years ago, we were believing for a certain vehicle to travel with, and my father-in-law lived out in Vegas, and of course they got plenty of money. All those people out there got plenty of, it's not hard-earned money, but they earn it. And so some man was going to give us $1,000, but my father-in-law talked him out of it. I wanted to hang him, but because it's quite a bit of money, but I can't blame him because we gave up. We stopped short of a miracle. Because we didn't see outward results. Well, let me tell you a simple definition for faith. Faith believes you got it before you got it. You got to believe you got it before you get it. You've got to believe you got it before you get it. That scripture is brought that point is brought out in Romans 4, where he said, calling those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. I heard Brother Hagin say this as well. He said, that's the hardest type of praying. And the hardest thing for people to do, to call yourself healed when you look at every circumstance about you, and you look, maybe you're praying for a little child and you see them in the suffering and hurt, and compassion goes out of you, but compassion gets in the way of faith. You just have to stand in faith about it. Keep standing and standing and standing and standing and standing until you see the results. It don't happen The results don't happen immediately, but the results does happen immediately because God goes to the root of the problem. He wants to fix it in a way that you don't need to have to go back in there again and deal with that kind of a situation because he wants to do it right. He'll do it right. If we can believe it, praise God. Amen. And so he says right here, he says, so in the morning they saw it dried up at the root. And you know, I had a cancer come on the side of my neck. And I'll give you a little personal testimony. I may have told you this. I don't know. But I had a cancer about the size of my thumbnail come up on the side of my neck. And it was during the time that they were treating me with a Plavix for my heart. And so Plavix and blood thinner don't go together real good, especially in the same body. So they went to the doctor and looked at it and said, well, we can cut it off. But you on Plavix said, we can't cut it off. We just can't do anything with it. And so here I'm sticking a big cancer on the side of my neck, part of that Agent Orange business. And so I said, well, then praise God, then I'm going to believe it, which maybe I should have done to begin with, but I didn't. I went to the doc and they diagnosed it. And so I went to God, and that's just my forte. I got me a scripture that pertained to it, or at least that some alluded to it in some way that God would take care of it. And I said, the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, the yoke is broken from off of your neck because the anointing breaks your yoke. So I'm going to give you the full quote, but the full scripture. So I took it. I said, the cancer has been removed off my neck. I prayed. I prayed in faith, believed I received it. And I said, I said, it's removed off my neck. Well, every time my wife would look at it, she would be concerned about it. She'd say, well, that thing on your neck, I said, it's dead. You don't see it. You don't see it. And I felt like lying. I felt like I was lying. Huh? I mean, you just feel like, why I tell this lie? I mean, this ain't going to work. But I said, it's not there. Because in fact, really, I'm glad she said what she said because it made me have to confess the word. Amen. So I just kept cursing it, and I went off to South America and came back, and it was about the size of a dime. And I went to the doctor. And he said, well, that thing on your neck, he said, it's you should have it cut off of there. I said, I'm not going to do it. I believe you ought to do it. I'm not going to do it. I said, no, you don't see it. It's been cursed. It's dead at the root. It don't exist. You know, they look at you like a frog all with a bad case of bug eye. I mean, you know, Graves' disease on that frog. But anyway, and so, you know, he just looked at me. And so finally when I went back, it was gone. And I said, well, it's gone. It's gone. I said, I told you so. It was that way, and you looked at it the first time. You just didn't see what you thought you saw. Now, you know, that was a miracle to me, praise God. I mean, you know, because it works for you individually every time. Nobody's faith's involved with it. However, if you put it in the prayer of agreement, you need to find out what exactly somebody else is believing. You need to find out where they are standing in their faith, whether they got it. And that's why I want to talk to you about faith levels, because you don't know the faith level of the person next to you. They may say they have a lot of faith, but when they're backed in the corner, look at your neighbor and say he's talking to you. When you're under pressure, when you've got something leaning down upon you, then what comes out of your mouth a lot of times will identify where your faith is at. And, you know, you're identified. And the devil hears it, too. And now listen to me, because I'm going to come to that and talk about it a little bit. But if you pray it, you got to say it. And you got to say to pray. Now, you can pray under your breath, of course. But I'm saying if you go pray it, you've got to say it. And that's why we'll come back to that in a minute. And so Jesus is talking about some of the principles that operate with faith. And so listen to what he says. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, or many of you have heard this, have the faith of God. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But maybe I want to talk about it now. In the contextual setting, this is talking about praying, it's talking about saying, it's talking about faith, and it's talking about having a prayer relationship so that when you say what you say, it's that which is born out of the Spirit of God. There is it. Listen to me. There is the Logos Word of God, which is the written Word of God. You've holding it in your lap. But the Rhema Word of God is the quickened Word, or the made alive Word. And that's the thing that produces the results. And that comes from a relationship of prayer. Huh? You can't get it any other way. Well, you can get it by reading the Word of God. Listen, I might as well just talk about this. I'm not necessarily going to follow the notes anyhow. There's a difference between the gift of faith and developed faith. In other words, you should develop your faith. Since I'm talking about confession, I'm just going down this road. Some people try to confess Mercedes-Benz, and they've got Volkswagen faith. In other words, they extend beyond. Romans 12:3 said they, in the Amplified, says they have an exaggerated opinion. Nobody likes an indictment that their faith don't work. But I come face to face with the reality when I was about 65 years old, and when I started having difficulties and started having problems in my heart, I realized, I went to the Lord, and He said, there's some things that you need to correct. You have allowed the devil to come in. And you better know something. When you ever allow him to come in, it's a whole lot harder to get that sucker out of there. You got to stay after it. You got to stay after it. I'm still working at it. But I went to the Lord, and he told me several things, but the most significant one of all is, He said, you don't believe in the love I have to you. I said, well, He said, you tell everybody else that I love them, but you don't believe I love you. Well, I didn't, because of the way I was raised. You know, I didn't have a fatherly image per se that way. I had a father, and he was good in many ways, but he wasn't spiritual. And so I, you know, yeah, and we'll go down that road too far. But anyway, you need to get your confession lined up. I've lost my train of thought. Praise God. Amen. Just pray with me for a minute. You're not going to rob my thoughts tonight, devil. In Jesus' name, you're not going to rob them. Get out. Hallelujah. Somebody open the door and let him out. As a matter of fact, keep him in here and let us work him over for a while. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hey. Huh? My wife's preaching right now. Let me. Yeah. That's where it's at. Amen. I thought God didn't love me. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. It's a motivator. It's a compassion that moves it. You ever seen Jesus move with compassion? Every time He was moved with compassion, things happen. Praise God. They were, and so it's part of the faith. You can't preach it, but I was talking about this. Faith, have the faith of God. What is the faith? Does God, if He says have the faith of God, what could you do to develop that? Now, you could develop yourself in faith, and you can develop yourself in the Word of God, and you can know it well, but what could you develop? How could you develop the faith of God? It has to be the same as love. The Bible said, love even as. You know, I don't understand that verse. I like Dr. Apostle Paul when he get to heaven, because he was not married. I think the tradition says he might have been married. I don't know if he was or not, but whatever he was, I don't know, but at the time he wrote the Bible, he was not. So he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Why would you have to be told to love your wife? I mean, you ever think about that? Why would you have to be? Well, I know in some cases it probably takes a whole lot of faith. And or husbands, either way. I mean, it goes two-way here. But, you know, I look at some, like one fellow said, I was praying for me, and then I saw you, and I started praying for you. Amen. But anyway, why would you need to have the faith of God? Why would He say that if you couldn't have it? And it would have to be something that operated on the same level. So listen to me. You could be a mindless person, not have any education, and live in Podunk, Mississippi, if there is a Podunk, Mississippi, and God can speak a word to you, and it can be a world-changing word, and you don't have anything whatsoever to do with it. Now listen to me. I taught faith this way as a pastor. I said, you need to confess the word of God, because the faith, according to Philemon verse 6, the faith becomes effective, energized, or that word would be energized, or effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. And so if you want to get it in your spirit, the quickest way to get it in your spirit is to get it in your mouth. Now, if you saw a little child, when you had a little child and you saw them, I think you still have pokeberries around here, and they're not too good for you. They'll kill you, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, we call them pokeberries growing up. They said, don't eat them. They make you sick. But you saw when your children have a mouthful of those pokeberries, what would you say? Huh? What? Say it out loud. Spit them out. Why? Well, because it'll get into your innermost being. It's right, it's poison, and it will harm you. But it will get in your innermost being. When you speak out here things that are contrary to the word of God, you deposit that quicker, huh? Than what you would if you just read it. You put it down on the inside of you, make a deposit on the inside of you. And given the right crisis, it'll come out. And believe me, life is full of crises. You don't have to worry about a devil. You got plenty of them to do without a devil coming. But he accentuates them. And so he says, have the faith of God. The faith that puts the devil to flight is the faith that's of the heart. Of the head, if you're led by the head, you're dead. You're led by the heart, you're smart. So you put this down inside of you. Now, listen. Faith cometh, and we've heard that 1,000 times, 1,000 different ways. Faith cometh. So faith comes as a result of you putting that word of God down into you. And how many times you have to do it, I don't know how many times you have to do it. I can't tell you how many times you have to do it. I heard Norval Hayes say, well, I confessed that 600 times. I don't know if he counted them all. But anyway, he confessed that word over and over and over and over. He was redundant. Eh? I mean, he was just absolutely, he was a wild man. And so I don't know what it takes. It depends on how deficient you are. But most people wait till the crisis before they start and expect God to turn it around like that, and then they get mad at God because they don't honor their faith, and he can't honor their faith because they're not working by the rules. Okay? And so you better understand that real, because when it comes to the prayer of faith, you're going to have to. Now, I know you're sitting there, and I can see the exceptions on your face. And there's always exceptions, and I'm still learning. I don't know it all, but I've learned a few things, and I know. And so, I'm seeing some things turn around. Things happened last Wednesday, and I took a nap on the side of the road. Amen. Praise God. I used to do that when I was a kid, a hitchhike home up on Catawba, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I get tired from hitchhiking because I had to walk, nobody picked me up. So I just lay down in the middle of the road and go to sleep. It's a miracle of God. Somebody didn't run over me and kill me. Amen. But anyway, so listen to the context of this scripture. I'm going to another place in a minute, but he's saying you can have the faith of God, or have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Now listen how it operates. Now listen to me very carefully. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he said. Now, let's stop there for just a minute. He didn't say anything about you doubting in your head. He said, don't doubt in your heart. See, a lot of people won't have it all together, right? You know, we go back several years, go back 50-some years, and so I remember seeing people just believe God and get results, and they didn't have any of the message we have today. They didn't confess the Bible, and yet they would get results because faith is a heart product. It's a product of the heart. You know, your head will go up to a certain moment. We'll see some things about the levels of faith, but in a minute. But you only go to a certain level in your head, and then bong bong bong, you sound like a tilted pinball machine. I mean, bong bong, I can't go there. Okay, and so he's saying, if you'll say to this mountain. Now the word "say" here in the Greek means the past tense. You got to call those things to be not as though they were. You got to believe you got it before you get it. No need to believe it then when you got it, because you already got it. But you got to believe you got it before you get it. That's difficult to do when your body's in pain. It's difficult to do when you see someone suffering and you want to take your faith and override their will and get them to. But you've got to find out what they believe. And there's always circumstantial things involved. I remember, I'll go a little side road here for a minute. When we lived in Hopedale, Oklahoma. Got Oklahoma in my mind. Hopedale, Illinois. The man in the church, the pastor said, "I want you to go down and visit him. I want you to visit him." And so I said, boy, this is why I hate to say this, because I'm afraid I'm going to open up something I'm going to have to teach about for a few moments. But anyway, so he said, "I want you to go pray with him." He'd been feeding him every kind of faith book and every kind of CD and every kind of tape, you know. And I walked in the door, and you know, I mean, it shocks you when God says something to you like this. He said, "I'm not going to heal him." I heard you long ago. "I mean, God's will to heal everybody." Yes, God's will to heal everybody. But not everybody's going to get it. Huh? It don't mean I'm going to change my message because somebody don't get it. You would say, "Well, if they fall dead in front of you, just step over and keep walking." Well, I said, "What if you fall dead? Just keep walking." I ain't going to fall dead, but I'm just saying, I'm going to run and not be weary. I'm going to walk and not faint. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my confession. I'm driving the devil nuts, and probably you, every time you see me, I'll probably say it to you, I'm going to walk and not faint. I'm going to ride my bicycle and not faint. Amen. Hallelujah. I know that's stressing it a little bit, but just leave me alone and see what happens. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah, out there. Amen. Praise God forever. And so I said, "Well, why?" He said, "I'm not going to tell you." I found out later, after he went and passed on, that he had molested his daughters. And the Lord said, now I'm going to tell you. And he spoke to me, said he would go right back to doing the same thing if I healed him. And so I took him in mercy. But that's an exception. It's still the will of God. That's part of what we're going to talk to you about. See, it's a big part of God's will. And in fact, if you want to really stretch salvation or soteria, it means the preservation. It means that you can just live in health. Hallelujah. I mean, you can just walk and live in it, praise God. And I realize that. I understand that. I know that. I just realize I've kind of opened the door, and I've got to work my way back. But it don't mean I'm going to change my... Listen, I got ready to go to South America. When I go to South America, I have a kind of miracle you can think of. I mean, I've had my hands laying on tumors, and they just whoop like you pop a balloon. A blind eyes, seeing jump out of wheelchairs and take off running, all kinds of things. And so I got, after I had died, I said, "God, how am I going to go back over there and preach on healing? And all and I'm sicker than they are, according to the doctors." I said, "How can I do that? I mean, I feel like a big hypocrite going over there and preaching about healing, and I need it worse than anybody in the building." And we prayed 45 days before that meeting. We prayed consistently every night, 45 days, about an hour a night. Finally, I finally heard the Spirit of God say to me, "You're not the healer." Hallelujah. You're not the healer. You know, Catherine Kuhlman was one of the greatest healing ministries, and yet she died of heart disease. You know, heart issues. And you know, different ones, and that don't mean it was God's will. She wouldn't rest, and certain things involved with that. I'm not being critical about that. But you need to realize, that's why I wanted to preach on the hindrances to faith, because there's certain things that you need to know and understand. And this is not the message about the hindrances of faith, but there's certain things that hinder God from working on your behalf. But now listen to me. Don't get caught up in sin consciousness. I should have told you this right up front. Prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. God, you can talk to God and he'll talk back. Hallelujah. You may not want to hear what he has to say, but he'll talk back. It may not be something comfortable for you because you're rooted out. I mean, you know, when I started asking him about certain things, I probably need to clarify this a bit because I got off and went down a road a while ago. But when I asked the Lord about why all this happened to me, he said, you got aggravated at the faith people. And one of them in particular is a preacher who wiped out 2/3 of my ministry with his lying tongue. No reflection on Raymond, because I believe in Brother Hagin, I believe in Raymond, I believe in, and most of the people who come out of those are wonderful. But as much as wonderful can be, as wonderful as I am. Hallelujah. Amen. I thought I let that sink in for a while. But he'd done me wrong, and I kind of got an attitude about it. You know, so I had been conversing with God prior to that. So I'd opened the door. In other words, what I'm going to say to you, you can talk to the mountain, you turn blue in the face. You can talk to your situation, you turn blue in the face, but you can't build a second story of a house on a vacant lot. I challenge you to try. Huh? You can't build a second story of a house on a vacant lot. You've got to lay foundation. This is foundation. Faith is one of the foundational doctrines of the church. And so it needs to be preached, and it's very relative and important to praying, because if you don't believe you're going to receive it and you don't believe you got it, and we'll see here in a minute how that works, then you might as well just spit face in the wind, you know, because you're not going to go anywhere with it. Now, watch what he said. You can say, put it in the definite past tense. In other words, and that's what it means according to Zoidi's Bible, in the definite past tense. Where you say, I have it now. I have it now. It's mine. Glory to God. I have it now. And you got the devil's hard of hearing. He's deaf. You got to scream in his ear. Everyone's, hey, devil, lend me your ear. Glory to God. I want to tell you something just in case you forgot it. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. In my case, I'll walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. And so listen now what he says. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now, things does not necessarily mean somebody else's wife or husband. But some of the people, because we were, God told us to go to Tulsa and stand under Brother Hankins' ministry and learn how to operate in the office of a prophet. And we sat there not realizing probably some level of impartation took place. But I didn't know anything about impartation at that time. So, I saw that. But there was a lot of people believing for somebody else's wife and or somebody else's husband. You might ought to ask them what kind of husband or wife they got. Might not be the kind you want. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Say, can I stay over at your house for a couple of days? And then you leave and say, thank God I didn't get my faith answered on that. Now, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. So prayer is the center of this. You got to say it. If you pray it, you got to say it. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Praise God. Now, I'd like to go and read the rest of this, but I may come back and read it later. But he said, when you stand praying, he said, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. See, that's exactly what I was telling you about. I was dealing with it. I was saying out of my mouth, God, I choose to forgive them. I forgive them. I need the even as to kick in. To forgive even as, that's what he says in Ephesians 4:32. Forgive even as, or to love even as. In other words, I believe Paul used the husband-wife relationship because that's easy, but you're going to run up into situations where it's not going to be so easy to forgive even as. You're going to need supernatural power that's made available to you through the Word, through prayer, and through the operation of the Spirit of God. But and faith works by love. Now, I'm going to go back and say something in case I missed it. Having the faith of God means that, or having faith like God has it, means that it's made alive to you on the inside, and it has the same level of productive power that he has. It may not be world-creating, but it will be life-changing, and it'll be circumstantial-changing because you've learned how to you've put your faith in him. I really feel like I need to do more and more of all this. But anyway, so when you stand praying, forgive, which is in heaven, your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. In other words, it's just simply put, God not going to forgive you if you don't forgive others. That's absolutely the truth. Huh? And you can pray to doomsday. But he says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you. Now, that's a whole different kind of praying. Let's talk about faith levels for a minute. Because James, let's go to James chapter 4. Hallelujah. I don't know how long you give me, Pastor, but I'll try not to stay forever because, although I'm a long-winded preacher. James 4. 2 and 3. Now, here's the point. You have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss. Watch what he says. He said, from whence come wars, fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust, and you have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And then furthermore, he goes on to say, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Oh, my. You miss it. You don't operate by the rules. That may very well be the rules. There's some rules going into this thing about how you ask, and might as well just deal with them. Let's look here in John 16 for a minute because I don't have to follow my notes, do I? Hallelujah. John 16, 23 and 24, Jesus talking. This is right around his time. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. And he says in verse 24, In that day, that's the day we're living in. That's the day we're living in. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. You know, heaven has a divine protocol. And so you need to come according to the protocol. And he says, and that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, which when he uses it twice like that, it means it's established. I say unto you, whosoever or whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So the call, the protocol, or the will of God for asking is ask in Jesus' name. Why would that be so? Well, because he's the guarantor of the new covenant. He's the guarantor. In other words, you come to the Father, you come in the name of Jesus. You ask according to the name of Jesus or in his name. There's power in his name. You know, in his name he cast out devils. His name is marvelous. And listen to what he said. And hitherto you have asked nothing in my name that you should ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. So the will of God for asking is the name of Jesus. And the will of God in your asking is the Word. Amen? If a Word says it, then it qualifies for whatsoever. Amen? Are you out there? Amen. Praise God. I don't want to lose you. I'm probably going to make you a little mad, but that's okay. You'll live through it. Praise God. So I'm talking to you about faith levels. Now, right here in Matthew 8, we're right here close. Let's look at one of the levels, Matthew 8. I like to just take off on some of this. I might do it, but, this is powerful stuff right here. Verse 1, actually, I need to get down to about verse 5, but I'm going to read it for understanding. When he's come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. I preached a message just recently about Jesus being on a mountain. Every time he went to the mountain, came down, results took place. And behold, listen to me. It's very important. It relates to what we're saying. Moses climbed the mount of God, got the revelation of God, and come down and expounded to the people. That's exactly how the prayer of faith works. You pray the prayer of faith. You hear what God is saying. And then you come down and say it to the people. It's God's faith talking through your mouth, and it produces results. In fact, please forgive me, but I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just to, because I missed this and I want to give you these verses where Paul was talking. He said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or in wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." Boy, that don't sound too much like a real positive confession, does it? But he understood his dependence on God. Listen, because in contextual setting, it relates. "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God and power." In other words, let me say it the way it would say it in the Greek language. My preaching, the words that I spoke to you, were not words born out of my wisdom and my intellect, because Paul was an extremely smart man. But he said these are words that were born by the Spirit of God, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me tell you what, I want to create faith on the inside of you. I want to preach what the Holy Ghost is telling me to preach. I want to say to you what the Holy Ghost, and if I say to somebody, what is it that makes a person respond to you when you say to them, say for example, they're crippled, and you say to them, "Stand up on your feet." What makes that happen? I mean, we know it's the Spirit of God, we understand it, but what in that word made that happen? It was a conveyor of faith in the fact that it was spoken with boldness. I've seen him get up. Hallelujah. I've seen that on the foreign field, not so much here, but over in the foreign field. I've seen him get up. I've seen the blind see. You know, it's amazing to me. I always like to tell this little story. It was in the Ayapel, which is a place extremely dangerous, and they had us there, and they were trying to shut the lights on over us and kill us, various different things. But we had miracles taking place. That's probably why they're all stirred up. And this little blind lady, 70-some years old, 72, 73, the first thing she did is look at her hands. After she got healed, she just looked. I thought, what a strange thing to do, but I guess she wanted to see what her hands looked like. I don't know. I didn't ask her. Instantly healed. That just blessed me. Glory to God. For the first time in her life, she saw something she'd never seen before. But, you just say, "See. See." Hallelujah. Jesus did. What made Jesus? He didn't always just speak the word. I mean, he was the word. He spoke the word. Don't misunderstand me here. But he didn't. Many times he drew out of the Old Testament, but he understood the principle and the pattern that works through the Scripture. God, you got the truth of God's word, but you got the principle and pattern. If God ever did it one time, he'll do it again. If he ever did it for one person, he'll do it for another. We need to find out what conditions we need to meet in order to make that happen, but God is no respecter of persons, and he's not a man that he can lie. He told the truth, praise God. And so, God don't want to heal me. So are you some special case? I mean, come on here. God, you're having a pity party, and your theme song is, "It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to cry." Yeah. Amen. Yeah, and you can't get through to you. Some people I've just seen over the years, I want to just haul off and slap them. And some I did. But only by the Spirit of God told me to do it. But you just want to haul off and smack them and say, "Hey, wake up in there." Yeah, I know your eyelids, your shades are down, but we will find out if anybody home. Now, "But your faith stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. I mean, that's your faith. And Paul was saying the words that I speak to you, he spoke by revelation. That's a rhema. It became the Logos after he spoke it and it was written down, but it's the Rhema. But in order for, and I was praying one time, "Lord, pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the Lord spoke back to me and said, "You got to see my word like I see it in heaven if you want it to happen on earth." How's he see it? Does he speak it and say, "Well, I wonder if it's going to just wander around out there in the universe and hope somebody picks up on it and gets it"? Or does he speak it with a purpose in mind? Huh? And see, you're saying to a tree. You're talking to a tree. It's about the same thing as if you're talking to some people. They're not heads. You know what I'm saying to you? And you're trying to get through to them. You're trying to help them, you know. And, you know, I don't know. I am convinced that this last move of God is going to have a higher level of boldness in it than anything on the face of God's earth. I really believe it's going to be boldness. That's the only thing that's going to cause the problem. They in the book of Acts, I mean, cause the results, is because you speak it with authority and boldness. And that's kind of what he's talking about here in Matthew 8, if you ever get back over there. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So let's look at it here. He's saying, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. The reason why it was immediate is because it was, first of all, he spoke the word, of course. But he had the Spirit of God without measure. Then he said unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself unto the priest, and offer the gift of Moses, commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come. See, this settles it about the will of God. I will. That's not all I want to say about it, but I will. I will come. I will. And he said, the centurion answered and said unto him, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now, I don't think he was condescending to himself. I think he was being humbled. I think that would be the best way to say that. And he said, answered and said unto him, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed. I am a man under authority. Are you listening? Now, we may be in authority, but you are under authority. In other words, you have a word from a higher authority, and you're acting on that word, and you're speaking that word. That's what this book is. It's a word from a higher authority. And when we take the time to deposit it down inside of us, get our heart full of it, then that ought to be able to squeeze you, nothing but the word come out. Huh? Praise God. Amen? And he said, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, and he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh, and to my servant, he do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him, unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found, he was looking for it, I have not found so great faith, no, not necessarily so great faith. In other words, it's a level. Whatever that is great faith. Great faith in this case is submitted to authority, to God first, above all. Submitted to authority, and he knows that he's making a statement that since I understand how you're operating, Jesus, then I know that you're saying what the authority over you is telling you to say, and you don't even have to come to my house, just say it. Huh? That's a quickened word. That's a made alive, that's a rhema word of God. That's what produces the miracles. Amen. Praise God. I ain't never got anybody healed that I didn't hear from God about. I mean, you know, I mean, before I go into service, I mean, I can pray for them, lay hands on them. I may tell them that way the anointing of God will flow through my hands to you, you know, because it'll flow through your hands. Amen. To them. You can say, listen, I'm anointed, and I'm going to pray for you. And the anointing going in, effect a healing and a cure. It affect a healing and a cure. Praise God. Amen. And so he got great faith. Now, let's get over here a little bit further. There's little faith. Matthew 6:30. Be right there close by. He said, well, okay, it was right on the page, 6:30. And he said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, and which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Huh? Little faith. Amen. There's actually four things that happen here. Worry. The four things that cause little faith. One of them is worry. Worry is a sin when you know the word. If you don't know it, you're blind to it anyway. God will wink at the time you're ignorant, but worry is a sin. Okay? And so worry causes little faith. And then Matthew 8:26, we're right back over there. Let's look at that again. He said, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. I don't think I'm reading the right verse here. Okay. Fear not them. Well, I don't think I marked down the right verse, but fear, of course, is involved in Matthew 8:26. No, I ain't looking at 8:26. I'm looking at 10:26. Amen. It ain't working too good for me. Amen. Amen. That would work, wouldn't it? You know, hallelujah, amen. 8:26. Okay, let me get it right. And he says unto them, why are ye fearful, all ye of little faith? So fear. Fear is faith in opposite, going opposite direction. Fear is faith in the unseen. Fear is faith. This works exactly like faith, except it's negative. Huh? And so fear causes little faith. And then Matthew 14:31, I hope I got this one right. Amen. Okay. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So remember, I said you can doubt in your head, but you don't doubt in your heart. But doubt will work against you in your head. Huh? Yeah. Doubt in your head, but not in your heart. But if this is the case, your heart must rule. Led by the head, you're dead. Now, and then chapter 16, verse 8. I'm not going to get much further here. And Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason? My. I kind of looked up this word, and reason is faith based on another person's opinion. Did you know that? And here's what the word opinion, I want to see what opinion means. It means a belief or judgment that rests or grows on grounds insufficient to produce complete certainty. That's what an opinion is. In other words, you know, what's your opinion? So you run to and fro to get you nine different people to pray with you and pray for you, and maybe all nine of them is not exactly the same, and you listen to advice sometimes when you need to be listening to the word, in order for your faith to work perfectly for you. And so go to the word. Go to the word. I've been blind in this eye. I got healed on the basis of the word. Had cancer on my neck. I've been healed on the basis of the word. I'm telling you right now, I'm being healed in my heart with a brand new heart on the basis of the word. Hallelujah. I'm confessing. That's a confession to you. Amen. I don't do that very often, but praise God. It's because if a man has faith, let him have it to himself. But So he says, so it's opinion is belief or judgment that rests on the grounds grounds insufficient to produce complete certainty. It's a personal view. Huh? It's a judgment or estimate of a person. And the word Greek here means bring together. And that is you solicit all kind of people to get opinions. And it's going to undermine your faith, and it's going to undermine your power, it's going to undermine your direct connection with God, because you know, I've had 1,000 people tell me what I ought to do. You know, I used to do work for Kenner Pace Plumbing in Roanoke years ago. I worked with a guy, I don't know what kept him from getting killed, and he scared me. He actually scared me because he was fearless. I mean fearless. We'd go out and work on the plumbing, dig up plumbing, you know, water lines, and put new water lines in. We'd be there working. Here comes somebody along, and I think they probably meant well. They meant to be helpful. And they said, well, if I was like this, And I'd do this. I kid with my wife all the time because she'll say something like that. And I say, my mother's side of the family, I probably ought not to say this, he lives so close by, but they're webs. And they have web ways. And one of them is, you ought to do it this way. I ought to do this way. And he'd say, well, why don't you just get on off the sidewalk and get down here and fix it then if you knew how to do it. I thought, God Almighty, you're going to get us killed. And then you know, he one time we went and had to unstop his toilet and he pulled out a bottle of white shoe polish. And he said, well, look at there. He said, one of your children must have dropped that in there. Oh, no, she said, not my children. Proud mother. Well, then if your children didn't do it, maybe your husband did it. Oh, no, not my husband. Well, if your children and your husband didn't do it, then you did it. I said, oh, man, shut up. You're going to get this killed. Amen. God Almighty. You know, he was something else. But you always got people that tell you how I ought to do it. But the word of the Lord needs to come to you. The word of the Lord needs to be a personal thing to you, and you act up on that. That is the byproduct of faith of the heart. You act according to what you have inside of you. You know that you know that you know. You know. I turned about 50 years old, God, I scared myself. When I turned 50, I mean to tell you, a boldness and authority come on me, and I thought of Jesus in heaven. And I was actually preaching for Brother Graves, and I preached a message a week long on authority. I don't put them on the product table because most people couldn't take them. Most people couldn't take them. I absolutely skinned the hide off of a Texas armadillo. I mean to tell you, I got down in the middle of that. He had some situations going on in the church, and some of them involved some of my kin folks. And so I spared not the rod, buddy, because I don't care if you're related to me. I don't care what you say. You go contrary to the word of God, and you start trying to get me into trouble, I'm going to tear you off so fast you won't know what to hit you. Because I love you, but I'm going to shuck the corn. Praise God, amen. Praise God, because that's the way to get it done. Now let me go here. There's no faith. Mark 4:40 is the only verse I've found. No faith. Man, you're in bad trouble. You got no faith. But that's not true concerning us. Now listen, I'm going to clarify something for you. In the contextual setting of Romans 12 and 30, the classic verse that we use for faith comes by, you have the measure of faith. One of the laws of hermeneutics is that you interpret scriptures in the light of the context. And you can see it in other places. Paul said, we can realize looking at certain scriptures, that, and I don't have it before me right now, but you look at them, you can find out that faith is involved with grace. Paul said, I say unto you by the grace given unto me. In fact, just turn over there and read that. Just don't do that because I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it before you because I'm going to specify something. Now, do I believe God releases faith to you? I believe he does, but I believe you need to develop it and put it into by working it. But in the contextual setting, now this is where I'm going to lose some of you probably, but I'll just have to take a chance. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, chapter 12, Romans 12 and 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I say through the grace given, he's talking by his grace, the grace given, okay, unto me, that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, and be a legend in your own mind, more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What's he saying? I'm saying that he's talking about grace given. He talks about the grace gifts in the next few verses. There's prophecy. These are, I call them, motivational gifts. And you have faith to walk in your motivation. What moves you? You have faith to move. I have faith to be a prophet. I don't have faith to be a pastor. I have faith to be a prophet. I thought the Lord was going to ask me to pastor here several years ago, and I wanted to jump off of the Golden Gate Bridge. Amen. But this is according to the measure of your gifting. It gives you faith to operate. You know, you can operate. I can take it. I can take criticism. I can take certain things. I don't like it. It hurts sometimes, but I can take it because that comes with par for the course. What I had a hard time with over the years is that I would preach Brother Allen, and I would get real pointed and straight. I have literally seen him on them old-time benches, varnished benches, slide up and down the benches while you're preaching because their pants were on fire from the preaching of the word, and they were sliding up and down through there. I mean, you know, and that bothers you. I don't care who you are. If you got an ounce of the love of God in you, it bothers you to have to say certain things sometimes that are very shocking. But truth is truth. Now, I don't use that point to be mean, but I'm just simply saying that it's taken a certain amount of grace. It's taken faith for me to stay hooked. One man come through our church where we went in Peoria, our pastor, and told the pastor, he said, well, he said, I've quit the ministry this month. I've quit it one time. I said, only one time? Come on here. I've quit it a dozen times, maybe a thousand times. I've quit. I said, I get up on Monday morning after a Sunday morning service and say, God, I ain't never going to preach again. I'm tired. I didn't feel like I did good. I didn't feel like, various factors involved in it. But it takes grace. It takes faith to stay hooked. Hallelujah. When you fail, it takes grace to stay hooked. When you miss it in your faith, it takes grace to stay hooked. And you've got the measure. If God has given you a measure of that faith, then here's the thing about it. I heard someone just recently say, and I think we maybe said it Sunday morning prophetically. God is going to give all five of the ministry gifts, working in the fullness, all nine of the gifts, ministry gifts, and the motive gifts. They're going to work. Hallelujah. The reason why you do it the way you do it. It's the reason why you think about the things the way you do it. And God has given you the faith to withstand all of that and faith in relationship. That's just a side road. I'm not going to stay down that road. Now, so going back to our text, prayer is the time, is in prayer, refers to prayer rather. In their time of prayer, they get a word or a command or assignment. Jesus said, I always do what I see my Father do. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He evangelized the lost. He brought it. So you got faith. Some of you got faith that way. My wife is extremely motivated to win the lost, and she can't hardly be still. You know, when she goes out, sometimes she's all the time thinking about getting somebody to say, and I had to be ready because, you know, I'm motivated for the saint. I'm motivated to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. Amen. Are you out there? Amen. Now, confessing based on head knowledge does not get it done. Amen. Now, let me give you one more scripture because I'm through here. Listen, I've got 10 more sets of notes on the prayer of faith. I couldn't exhaust all that, but Hebrews 13. I want to give you this because I want to get a principle across to you tonight. I started to start this off with, because I was sitting here, on Wednesday night, something Pastor said and made me think about in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and by the Spirit and through the Spirit and with the Spirit and caught up. And I put all those words together and got a message and preached it to us at a leadership conference on Zoom. But, so this thought is involved inside of me because we don't see the results that we need to see. Now listen to me. You're coming into it. Thank you for your wonderful enthusiasm. In fact, you're in it to some measure, but you're coming into it. Hallelujah. And you're going to need to know some of these things. And you know, especially this point right here. Hebrews 13:5-6, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a good point for believing God in faith. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I was young, and now I'm older. I'm not old. I'm older. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I can say most assuredly, you know, faith is knowing God. Dr. Summerall used to say, faith is knowing God. How do you know about God? I know God is good. It goes without saying. Everybody's told us that for the last 20 years. But I want to know something about God. I want to know what makes him tick. And what makes him tick is his word in our mouth. His quickened word in our mouth with a focus on producing something. I don't want to say to somebody, rise up and be healed and have to drag them out of a wheelchair. I don't want to have to do all kinds of things and put my human effort to it in order to get them healed. I don't want to have them confess 5,000 times because we don't have time in this last day move of God. It's harvest time, bless God. And we better get a hold of it and get it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You start seeing people, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, all of that, and you may have that to some measure, but you're really going to see it in a full measure. And then, bless God, you're ringing the dinner bell, and there's people outside here saying, listen, I found out we can go over to that church and get healed up, glory to God. And they'll come in here lost as a goose, probably have a cigar hanging out on one side of their mouth and a whiskey bottle in their pocket, but it don't matter. Glory to God, get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and take a billy club and hit that whiskey bottle and let it drip down their amen. Hallelujah. But get them, because they're going to get healed, glory to God. They're going to get saved, glory to God. It's all in one package. Hallelujah. I can believe it, I can receive it, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can take it, you can make it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he goes on to say, he has said that I might boldly say, amen. You put on the whole armor of God, and I got my head shod with the preparation. My feet shod with the preparation. I put shoes on my head. But anyway, got on the helmet of salvation, and my feet shod with the gospel, and I got on the shield of faith, and I got all that. And I'm going to command the devil, you got to go. Oh, my. You can't stay. Come on, cut me a break. Huh? You better roar out of there. Amen. You better talk like God talks, and you will do it. If you're listening to me, your faith will necessitate it. Hallelujah. And so he says, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let me tell you something. You look the demon possessed in the eye. I knew some Africans had come to Marsharella meetings, and I got to become friends with them, and I could. They give a little bit of their testimony. I got up real close and look them in the eye, and I thought, here's what I thought, what I saw. You better hope he don't backslide, because he's gonna kill you and eat you. Man, I could see that. I could see that, even though the ravages of where he'd been, because I knew the one he worked with chicken bones and done all kinds of stuff like that, and he'd tell him fortunes. But I'm going to tell you, you'll face him. You think we don't have him here? Huh? I'm going to take you on a ride and just go down the road here somewhere and find somebody's full of devils and provoke them. Well, you know, not the wrong way. I ain't going to hit him in the face or nothing. But provoke them and get them all stirred up. I mean, I don't even have to do that sometimes, you know. I was walking through a Grandy's restaurant out in Texas when I was pastoring, and some little girl right there, and I could tell by looking up before I got up close to her, she had her face all configured, and I thought, all conscrewed, you know, around. I thought, what's the deal with her? I thought maybe she's deformed or something. I was feeling kind of compassionate for her, and I got up beside her, and she went, hee, 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 and I went, in Jesus' name. And I'd shut that devil up. Amen. And amen. And then one time, I'll just give you this little story. So give you a little illustration. It might happen to you. You never know. I hope it does. I pray it does. God, I pray, God Almighty. I've been praying for devils to manifest in here so you can see it. Get you all stirred up. Get you all, you know, like one time, and I'll tell two stories and I'll quit. Make me quit. I was in Iowa preaching, and I was having a move of God. I mean, a real move of God. I walked back during ministry time, went back and called this young lady out, and she sat back where you're sitting. I said, come on out here and let me minister to you. And I started to say something to her, whatever I was going to say. And she said, I am the spirit of lust. Man, you don't expect that when you go to minister to somebody. And before I could realize what happened, I became Quick Draw McGraw. I just come up, boom, 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 and smacked her face till it was blood red. And it looked like it took a whole minute. It didn't take as long, but it looked like it took a minute for her to fall to the floor and hit the floor. And she named four more devils come out of her when she hit the floor. Some old boy was sitting right there pretty close to mine. He wasn't even saved. He got saved and filled the Holy Ghost just like that. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I don't believe we ought to have people puking. I don't care what they do. As long as the devil comes out of them, praise God. Amen. And the result is that. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I was going to tell another story, but I forgot it. So, amen. So, much to your chagrin, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got to believe God. You got to believe God. You got it before you get it. I'm sorry. One more scripture. I got to do it. 1 John 5. First Epistle of John. Because this is the I'm looking for the right word to say, but this is the epitome of faith, I guess. You might say it, because this is where it works at. John 4. First Epistle of John, Little John, chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby we know we have that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given of us his Spirit, and he hath seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son. Where am I at? I'm sorry, I am dismissing it on the wrong chapter. Chapter 5, verse 13. Amen. He said, these things have I written unto you. Let me make sure I got it right. And written unto you, and believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name, there it is, of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, hold your Bible up and say his will. Come on, his will. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. His prayer. Do you believe he hears you? Do you actually believe he hears you? Do you hear him? Do you believe him when you tell him, God, I want a move of God so bad I can't taste it. I can't hardly stand it. I'm willing to do whatever. I don't care who you use. I don't care. I don't even like the preacher. I mean, I just got to have a move of God. I got to have it. I mean, and your tongue dragging the ground like a puppy dog. Yeah, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Show me you want a move of God. Oh, come on, you dignified Virginians, Jesus. I've been living with the Yankees too long. Huh? I got to get them to do that all the time. Amen. And if we know that he hears us. And I should have put this together in the other verse. We know he hears us when we ask in the name of Jesus. We know he hears us when we ask according to the word. We know that. That's two infallible witnesses. Let the word be established in the mouth of two more witnesses. If we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, is revival a good thing? It's really mentioned in the word. He talks about reviving you again in Psalms 80, 81, right in there. So it's mentioned in the word. You can go there and pray that. But we know he hears us. If he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What things soever you desire, what should your desire be? What the Word of God says, what the Word of God teaches we can have, what the Word of God promises you and I. And that's part, that's just the beginning of praying by faith. This all works in these other prayers. They have different rules and different things. It's relative to them. But this works in everything, and even including the prayer of intercession, which I really didn't do it justice when he came in here, because, brother, I'm telling you, there's going to be some groaning going on in here. Well, thank you once again for that wonderful enthusiasm. Huh? You're not going to give birth unless there's going to be some groaning. You ladies ought to know that. Huh? A son was born. Our daughter was born. It was 12, 13 hours before she got born. We didn't know anything then, but her son got, we knew something about the pain of childbirth. So and they took my wife in. I heard, oh, and he, one time. But there's groaning. Hallelujah. You want to birth, and when Zion travails, that's groaning. Hallelujah. Father Nash was Finney's prayer, and they said, one lady met Finney outside the city and said, do you know this man by the name of Nash? Said, well, yeah. He said, what's wrong with him? Well, why? Well, he's up there in that room, and he said, and I guess he has some other men with him, and he's groaning. I never heard such groans come out of a human being. Yeah, but Finney could walk down the street and people just look on him and get saved. Hallelujah. And 80-some percent of his converts stayed saved. Hallelujah. Amen. This last move might be quick. You cut it short in righteousness. You get them saved. You get them into the family of God. You get them on the way to heaven and take them out before we goof them up. Amen. Stand up on your feet, please. Hallelujah. I thought I wasn't going to get off the ground tonight, but I think I might got up a little ways anyway. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Now, whatever we said that's beneficial, whatever we said is good, whatever that's been a help to your people, let it be that. You're not confined to what I say. The Psalmist 62:11, the New International Version said, He has spoken once, but I heard twice. So let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Let them develop a relationship by faith with you. And let them speak forth that which you're saying. And the blind will see. And the lame will walk. And the deaf will hear. In Jesus' name. And we give God the glory for it. And above all, the lost will be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. And filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God forevermore. And be established in this place in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Pastor, amen.
Amen. Amen. Sunday morning. All right. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he lift his countenance to you, be gracious to you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. So go get it. Amen.
Amen.